I'm sure everybody here knows the first words that God spoke in the Bible, right? Of course, it's "let there be light." And what happens after that? Well, since God spoke it through his eternal word, there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then God separated the light from the darkness. And the theme of light and darkness continues throughout sacred scripture. The darkness of the flood at the time of Noah yielded to the light of the rainbow. The Israelites made their exodus from Egypt at night, following the light of a pillar of fire. And the theme of light and darkness is central to understanding the prophecy and fulfillment found in the readings today. Let's reflect on that theme through the first readings, prophecy from Isaiah, the fulfillment in the passage from Matthew's gospel, and the continuance of the fulfillment in the church today. Let's understand together the context of the first reading from Isaiah. He describes the land of Zebulun and Naphtali as having been degraded. Now, Zebulun and Naphtali were two of the sons of Jacob, so they are two of the tribes of Israel. And the two cities of these tribes were on the northern and western shores of the Sea of Galilee, on the way to the sea, a land route that followed the shores of the Mediterranean Sea. Now, these lands were conquered by the king of Assyria in 732 BC. They were taken from the Israelites. They're part of what was called the Northern Kingdom. And many of the Jews living there were deported to Assyria, although some remained, living among the pagan occupiers. In the midst of these pagans, many of the remaining Jews gave themselves over to pagan ways, falling into idolatry. They were degraded. They were walking in darkness. They were blinded by the pagans. But Isaiah promises that they would see a great light. He tells them that light has shone and will bring them abundant joy and great rejoicing. So now flash forward to Matthew's gospel 760 years later. Jesus begins his public ministry by leaving his hometown of Nazareth in Zebulun and traveling to the city of Capernaum in Naphtali. And he does so to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah that the people of Zebulun and Naphtali would see a great light. Jesus, light of the world, who is the first word of sacred scripture, let there be light. And it's somewhat interesting that Isaiah says that the people who are walking in darkness will see a great light, while Matthew says that those sitting in darkness, perhaps after 760 years, their degradation no longer allows them to walk. And what does Jesus tell them? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent from your degradation. Repent from your pagan ways. Repent from your violations of the law. Jesus is the light who has come to lead them out of darkness into his own wonderful life. Matthew is telling us that Jesus has fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. So is that the end of the story? No, that's just the beginning. And it's important that Jesus begins his ministry by preaching to Jews in a land occupied by pagans. This is foreshadowing that the light has come for all. And this mission continues today in the church. What is the first thing that Jesus does after he fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah? He begins to gather the visible church together. He calls to him Simon and Andrew, James and John, four of the 12 upon whom he will rebuild his church to restore the original 12 tribes of Israel. This is the group that will follow him throughout his public ministry. This is the group that has his inner council. They will be with Jesus when he gives them the Eucharist at the Last Supper. They will scatter on Good Friday, but they will come back together on Easter Sunday. And before Jesus ascends to the Father, he will send them out to preach the gospel to all nations. He will send the Holy Spirit upon them at Pentecost. And these apostles are still with us today through their successors, the bishops of the church. The fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy is ongoing through the church because there are still so many sitting in darkness. They're sitting in the darkness of atheistic communism in China. They're sitting in the darkness of polytheistic paganism in India. They're sitting in the darkness of heresy in the Middle East by those who don't recognize the divinity of Jesus, the Son of the Father, and the light of the world. But even in the West, once firmly ensconced as Christendom, many former Christians are sitting in darkness, worshiping the idols of money and power and pleasure. And each of us is called to this great mission of the church, led by its shepherds to bring the light of Christ to those living in darkness, particularly for us, for our families and our neighbors. Reminds me a little of the story of John Ruskin, a British writer who lived at the end of the 19th century, before electricity. He was sitting on his porch one day with a friend, watching a lamplighter, torch in hand, lighting the street lights on a distant hill. And very soon, the lamplighter could no longer be seen, but all of the street lights were burning brightly. There, Ruskin told his friend, that is what it means to be a real Christian. You can trace his path by the life that he left behind burning.